I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I have a confession to make. The miracle stories in that gospel reading make me uncomfortable. They raise difficult questions for me. Why are only some people healed? Why are only some people raised from the dead? Any parent who has experienced a crisis in the health of a child wants desperately for a miracle. They want a healing to restore that precious daughter or son to full life. Today, we commemorate the Battle of Beaumont Hamel, and we remember the loss of so many members of the Newfoundland Regiment in that tragic battle. Many families lost young sons on that day. Any parent who has suffered the tragedy of losing a child wants nothing more than that child to miraculously be brought back to life. But we know that this does not happen. I have a friend who went through a horrible crisis with her health, and she often described her situation to me as being like that of the hemorrhaging woman in today's gospel. I'll spare you the details, but suffice to say that about a year and a half ago, she had major surgery to relieve some of her symptoms and to improve her quality of life. The surgery went well, but her doctors told my friend that they held out little hope that she would ever have children. She has wanted children all of her life. My friend prayed fervently to God for a miracle. And why shouldn't she get one? For the past 2 years, I have helped to lead a group of Canadian Armed Forces members and veterans to the International Military Pilgrimage in Lourdes, France. Lourdes is a place where the sick in mind, body, and soul go in search of a miracle. Over the last 150 years, some millions and millions of people have visited that holy site, and of that enormous number, some 7,000 cures have been reported. The Roman Catholic Church rigorously investigates these claims, and using the system that they have developed to assess them, have decided that only 67 of those are what the church would term miracles. Why do only some people get the miracle for which they yearn? And so, as much as I rejoice for Jairus and his family, that his daughter was restored to life, and that the hemorrhaging woman was healed, these miracle stories also leave me aching for all of those who have wanted a miracle in the midst of dire circumstances in their lives, but did not receive one. One of my favorite preachers is Barbara Brown Taylor, and she often provides me with helpful perspectives on difficult questions. She tackles this gospel reading in a sermon in her book, Bread of Angels, and I want to use a few of her main points this morning to develop my sermon. First, one of the challenges of miracle stories is to understand their purpose in Scripture. Miracle stories describe what God wills for us. As Barbara Brown Taylor says, Jesus' miracles remind us that the way things are is not the way they will always be. So suffering and death are not the end of the story. God's will is that his people be free from these torments. In this miracle moment, says Brown Taylor, the kingdom of God breaks through, and for a moment or two, we see how things will be, or how they really are right now in the mind of God, and then it is over. Miracles are momentary glimpses of the eternal amidst the temporal. They are the exception, not the rule. They are a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. Second, there is the question of what one must do in order to secure a miracle. Some people think that if a person has enough faith, that they will get the miracle they seek. So according to this kind of thinking, If you are sick or in some kind of crisis and you pray for a miracle and your prayer is not answered as you asked, the problem lies with you. You don't have enough faith. This thinking is faulty. I'm confident that many of you know people of faith, who have been ill or had someone in their family or close friendship who was ill and prayed for a healing, for a miracle, and not received that for which they prayed. Barbara Brown Taylor points out that on the night before Jesus was crucified, he prayed to his Father, saying, "For you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me." As we know, the next day he was crucified. He did not get that for which he prayed. Would we say that Jesus did not have enough faith? Of course not. Then why would we suggest that anyone else does not have enough faith if their prayer is not answered in the way they desire? Brown Taylor argues that it is God who has the power to bring about a miracle, not us. It is not our faith that will result in miracles. To think that the power to bring about a miracle depends on our faith is to think that we have control over what happens in our lives. If we have enough faith, we can get that miracle. But that's not the way it works. In truth, every single breath we take is a free surprise from God, writes Brown Taylor. The miracle in Jesus' case, she continues, is that Jesus drank that cup. He believed in God's power more than his own. When we ask for a miracle, perhaps we will get one. But what we are asked to do is to have faith that even when we do not get what it is we are looking for, all things are in God's hands. When my father was diagnosed with leukemia 30 years ago, I prayed that he would be healed. He ultimately died from this cancer, but in the 5 years between his diagnosis and his death, I saw changes in him. I saw him grow in his capacity to love and to appreciate life. Although this was not the miracle I looked for, it was a profound gift, and maybe that itself was a miracle. Miracles do not happen all the time. They do not depend on the amount of faith that a person has, but rather they depend on God. We are called to have faith that God is in control. In the meantime, it is glorious when miracles do occur. My friend, who was told she would probably never have children, gave birth to a beautiful baby girl in May. It seems unbelievable to me that less than a year ago, I was consoling her about the likelihood that she would never have children. She calls this dear child a miracle baby, and I agree with her. In a world that needs to celebrate God's free surprises, I rejoice in this little girl as a reminder of the way God intends all things to be in the kingdom, full of abundant new life, joy, love, and wholeness. Amen.